On the second Sunday after the Epiphany, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I heard a story about a supply priest who was running a little bit late to church. They got lost in the traffic in Mandan. The priest arrived after the service had started, vested, and crept covertly into the celebrant's chair. After a few moments, the deacon leaned over and said, "Who are you?" The priest was in the wrong parish. Oh, that's a little bit funny. 8 o'clock, we laughed more than that. The priest apologized, got directions to the correct parish, and left quietly. Have you ever realized that you were in the wrong place? How did that feel? Made you pretty anxious, didn't it? Well, let me ask you today, have you ever realized you were in the wrong parish? Paul's letter to the Corinthians today tells us about serious church problems. It goes on in the letter to talk about schisms, immaturity, and immorality were some of them. Some Corinthians wrote to Paul listing the troubles. Now, this would be like Episcopalians writing to their bishop to tell him about how bad their priest was. But as Episcopal parishes are under a bishop's charge and not congregational, rarely is a priest removed, except for notorious and heinous sins. Paul began his letter with some damage control. He called them saints, and then he thanked God for them. Did Paul write to the wrong parish? If you were sitting in the pews or standing in the corner, as it probably was the case, at a church service in Corinth at that time of Christ, would you be thinking Paul is writing to the wrong parish? Now, of course, he did not ignore their issues because he took them seriously and later addressed them. But first, he thanked God for each and every one of them. Paul modeled behavior that we need in our churches today. He looked beyond their faults and all of the things that they do wrong and affirmed their goodness. That's kind of cool. Many churches are doing right and have joyous ministries today, but too often random acts of kindness go unnoticed. Maybe this hidden saintliness is the cause for the revolving door of members and priests. I offer, we don't say thank you enough. At times, members and priests alike want to transfer from St. George's in Bismarck to St. George's in the eternal green pasture. I'll give you a hint. That church does not exist, y'all. It does not exist. And the problem with this line of thinking is that we don't stop and think. The grass turned brown from the green at the current church where the people were leaving from. They got less and less connected and left. Now, moving from church to church is a new thing. At one time, 71% of seminary graduates stayed in the church to which they were called until their death. 71%. So, to encourage us, lay and clergy, to be more loyal to our parish here at St. George's, I offer the positive work that Jesus is doing here. Jesus, first of all, is making us holy. Yeah, I said that. Jesus is making us holy, sanctifying us, each and every one of us. Paul called these holy Christians saints, as those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, certainly, they were not perfect, But sanctification is a process, and it's a progressive and visible one. Please be patient with me. God isn't done with me yet, is a phrase that we use to explain away all of our faults, our missteps, and our poor decisions. But this request deserves our consideration. We should give each other time to amend our lives. After all, we all need to amend our lives at one time or another, in one way or another. If we are on the path to following Jesus, we are being made holy. Next, Jesus is saving us from our sins, and that's called salvation. Jesus is doing the work of salvation right here at St. George's. You know, and Paul thanked God for grace in the Corinthians' lives. They had spiritual progress to make, of course, but God's grace gave them what they needed to change in order to live closer to Jesus. They were dead through their sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, and out of the great love that God has for us, made them and makes us alive in Jesus. For by grace they were saved through faith. This was not of their own doing. It was a gift of God, and it wasn't something that they earned. And we can change our future through admitting our shortcomings and asking that our thoughts, words, and deeds be changed for the better. Jesus is glorifying each one here today, and those of us who are not here. Remember that glorification is a physical and visible event that St. Augustine defined as brilliant celebrity with praise. Now, by celebrity, he means recognition. So it's brilliant recognition with praise. As we recognize ourselves, we praise God for it. Did you hear that? As we recognize ourselves, we should praise God for it. Paul had hope for these Corinthian Christians. He saw them as they were and as they could be. We too can look ahead to our sainthood, where we live in a blameless state. We can, with God's help, see each other as we are and as we will be, saints. As we will be, saints. Paul told the Corinthian Christians to look at each other as being sanctified, saved, and glorified as Christians. Look around you. Okay, that requires you to move your head a little bit. Look around you. Now, you're not in the wrong parish. This is St. George's in Bismarck. Paul told the Corinthian Christians to look at each other as sanctified, saved, and glorified Christians. I invite you today to look at each other as holy, saved, and glorified. In the name of Christ, the Sanctifier, the Savior, and the Glorifier. Amen.